You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So why do churches avoid talking about sex education? You were saying it's not just churches, but also society. Go ahead.
Yes, so I was saying it's a very sensitive and sketchy topic. Not only churches, but even as society, it's very hard to talk about. Such that when in our culture, when a young man, especially young ladies, when they come home, parents shun discussing that with their children. They would rather refer them to their grandparents rather, or even their aunts or uncles. That's how sensitive and sketchy that topic is.
Okay. Why? Why is it sensitive? I ask this because as churches, we have been equipped with scripture that gives us insights and perspective on how to deal with matters of propriety and impropriety. And failure to do that, neglecting to do that, renders us reckless and irresponsible. So why would churches do what society is doing, shying away from doing what we ought to teach?
Yeah. So number one, it's mostly based on culture, because the people who are in church are the same people who are also in society, culturally.
Okay.
But also, some people feel when they discuss issues of sex education, they are kind of encouraging the act thereof, especially in the context of outside of marriage. So some refrain from talking about it with a certain stereotype that when they discuss it in church circles, it's like they are mandating the promiscuity of sex and the misuse of the act altogether. So I think that's why some people resist discussing it altogether.
How does scripture address the issue of sex education? Do you find in scripture any examples where there is sex education?
Well, not explicitly. Unfortunately, even in the Bible, some patriarchs and matriarchs have not handled the whole sex thing and sex education very easily. The example I would give you is that of Genesis. When Dinah was raped, the only female child of Jacob, it's recorded that he tried as much as possible to just brush it off, like it happened, nothing really happened, to the point where he was willing to allow that the daughter, Dinah, who was raped, just be married off to the man who raped him, who raped her, the prince of Shechem, until the two brothers of Dinah actually said, "No, we can't do this anymore." That is Simeon and Levi. And they went to kill all the men in that land of Shechem who were circumcised because they were nursing their wounds. So we can see that even from the Bible, it's something that is shunned. We may not have an explicit scripture or even a good example where sex education is given. But of course, we have sex education being broad as it is. We can argue that parents, especially godly parents, were involved in the marriage of their children. I don't know if that can amount to sex education, but Abraham, for instance, was very much involved in the marriage of Isaac himself. And so was Jacob's mother, who actually gave instruction on where he should get married, which family he should marry into. Yeah.
I ask this because as far as scripture is concerned, I have witnessed no such thing as sex education. Instead, we see life education, which demonstrate the role of sex in lifestyle. And I suspect that's where we get things wrong. We separate education into compartments. We talk about economic education, sex education, relationship education, as though these are different compartments. And yet we don't see that compartmentalization in scripture. Why is the church not teaching lifestyle? Because the Bible appears to be teaching lifestyles, the same laws that are codified in the book of Leviticus as Levitical laws. They include sex education. You cannot have sex with your relatives. You cannot have sex with a man as with another man. You cannot have sex with animals. All of those issues of sex are part of general law in Levitical law. Why is it that we don't deliver lessons on lifestyle and not compartmentalize it? Why do we section off sex to be in some compartment there, in some dark, dingy, unhealthy environment? Why do we create some stigma around sex as the church?
Yeah, but and rightly so, as you have put it. But also, when we look at the major purpose of the Bible, remember, there are so many books that were written, but when the councils, various councils like the Nicene Council and the like, had to agree on which books should be in the Bible, they were looking for a certain objective. I stand to be corrected, but there could be some Jewish writings, maybe non-religious, which would have gone in depth in that. But I think the Bible does not explicitly, like you've mentioned, and specifically just addresses the whole sex education thing. Obviously, due to the reasons that we've already alluded earlier, that sex was viewed as something sacred, something that is not supposed to be discussed openly. And if at all it is discussed in coded language. Because there are some scriptures in the Bible, for instance, if I'll refer you to the book of Ruth, where the Bible says Ruth went to sleep at the feet of
Boaz.
Of Boaz, yes. Some scholars argue to say that's just euphemism to say they actually had intimacy, okay? Or she actually accused him of having had intimacy with her. So the man said, well, if I did this, then let me do the honorable thing of not dumping you or leaving you alone. Let me just go ahead and marry you. After all, I have feelings for you. So I think they've tried to keep it so sketchy, maybe because of the motive of the Bible, in that the Bible is centered on salvation and the story of redemption altogether. So we cannot really put our finger around it. But really, the explicitness of it as sex education, it isn't there. You can pick a verse here, a scripture there, but that cannot hold a solid argument that there is really sex education in its entirety.
Yeah, that's what I was asking, Pastor. Why do we want to make it exclusive? And I'll tell you why. The very first command, the very first instruction, the first thing on God's mind when he created human being, it was not worship. He didn't say, now go and worship me or praise me. It was not the Sabbath. Go and remember the Sabbath. No, no, no. The first instruction that God gave to man and woman was sex. Go and have sex. Why do we not teach that in scripture? You don't find any other instruction. The first instruction is be fruitful and multiply. And you don't become fruitful and multiply by praying.
Yeah, you are right. You know, sometimes when something has been perverted, people don't like to talk about it because there are so many perversions of the act thereof. I think you've hinted very well. There's bestiality, the having intercourse or sexual relations between man and animals, same-sex, sexual relations. I think because of that, maybe even the Bible has not really focused itself on measuring on that. So your argument is quite strong on the issue of multiply and the like, but I don't know how we could have left it. Yeah, I can't really put my finger around it to say this could be the reason. But obviously, the perversions around it, that's the talk which is around it, and just the illegality of it, the misuse of it, if we can put it like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that has made people to refrain from even discussing it altogether. It's good that we can have this kind of conversation, because in churches you can never, I don't know if there's anyone who can argue that there's been a Bible study on sex education. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it possible that as Bible-based Christians, we're incompetent? The scriptures speak, but we are silent.
Not that we are incompetent. Maybe the edge can be that we should actually delve more into such, because looking at the times that we are in, the model has changed. If we don't talk about it, people will get it in from wrong sources. So this can start especially from the level of the families. If we as parents are much open to talk about it, then it means that it will be easier for us to penetrate even at community level, even at church level, or whatever scale of people that we can get to. But if we can't even talk about it, if I can't talk about sex education with my children, my daughter, my son, then who is better placed to educate them apart from me? And if the church says silent, then where will they learn from?
Yeah.
The people that we are leading.
Yeah.
And so it becomes very dangerous.
Right. Now, the reason why I am offering this postulation of incompetence on our part is because that's our question. Our question is not really asking us to do sex education. Our question is asking why we don't do it. Why we avoid it. And I'm suggesting, Pastor, with the greatest respect to all our ministers, all our elders, all of our teachers in our respective local churches, I'm suggesting that we may very well be incompetent. We may very well be, if we don't know how to handle it, if we don't know how to encourage parents, how to encourage fathers and mothers to teach their lifestyles openly, as God openly gave the first instruction, the first thing, go and have sex. But this is how you're going to do it, and this is why you're going to do it, to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. If we cannot, as churches, encourage parents to do that, we are in dereliction of duty now, aren't we?
Yeah, it means that we're not doing justice as we are called. It leaves much to be desired, even from me, who is a minister of the gospel. I think it finds me wanting, and we can still do better than what we're doing currently.
Right. Do you imagine that? Do you think we are going to do better, Pastor? Looking at the trajectory, the pattern, the trend of our focus, we seem to be so heavenly focus, and we don't really deal with the issues that obtain on the ground. If sex, alcoholism, drugs, and manipulation are the order of the day, and we find our members embroiled in hypersexualism, are we not failing our duty as churches? Is it not possible that perhaps, again, like I said yesterday, we should just shut the churches down because we're not doing what we're doing. We're busy pretending to be motivational speakers instead of being teachers of the ways of God.
Well, that's one area which I feel there is much to be desired. But closing out the church may not be the solution.
Okay.
Because in one way or the other, sex education perhaps is done exclusively, not inclusively. Here's what I mean.
Okay.
We do that especially through marriage counseling. But the reason why I'm saying we're not doing enough is before someone makes a step and a desire to be married, I think they need to be educated as regards sex. Not until you wait for them to get to say, okay, I found my fiance, then you now begin to teach them sex education. Because in marriage counseling, truth be told, that is done. But I think we can begin even earlier than that. That I think can be my submission.
Why do we wait up until people decide to get married, Pastor, as though the body will not tell you much earlier than your decision to get married? Why do we wait until people decide to get married? Because at the very onset of puberty, the desire to have sex arrives. That's 11, 12, 13, some even younger, depending on how much protein and how much they eat of these foods that will encourage their hormones to get excited much earlier than the general age of puberty. There are children who present with early onset puberty when these sex desires already presenting. If we know this as parents, we observe our children as parents, why do we wait up until they are 30 when they want to get married instead of when they are 13? You start telling them, when your body behaves in this manner, this is what it means. And do not allow yourself to be dictated to by your body. Why do we not do what we are supposed to do when the body already is going to tell our children to do things? By the time they're turning 30, they've already done things, and we had failed as parents and churches. Why do we wait for premarital counseling?
Yeah, so that's, like I had mentioned, we've carried this whole act in seclusion, and that's why I think there's so much reservations. And then also, another thing is, we have never seen it done. So there's no precedence, perhaps. So people just fall into it to say, well, our patriarchs and matriarchs never did this. So we also fall into that trap, and perhaps no trendsetters to start something new, which we actually do need.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have no good examples, so we have. Okay, I hear you.
So we just go with the flow, because we don't have a manual which we can follow to say this is how it has been done, or these are the topics, is how to carry it. And so, yeah, there we just let it flow as it is.
Or we let it fall apart, because that's what happens. Our children end up being taught by TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook, and Roblox, and things literally, like Chinua Achebe says, things just fall apart. Okay, goodness, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. We're going to leave it right there. Really appreciate your time once again. We're looking forward to yet another conversation from a theological perspective. We're looking forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Brother Mundus.
Thank you. Good day too. Thanks for having me.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.